The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. It has been a big day of action. We are going to look back on all of it. We have Ale Moreno, Stevie Nicol and myself, Kay Murray, here in the studio. Let's start with the Copa del Rey. It was Barcelona taking on Real Sociedad in the quarterfinals. Ousmane Dembele scored the only goal of the game after Barca did beat 10-man Real Sociedad to go through to the semis. Brais Mendes got a red card for a high tackle. And it wasn't always easy for Barca, even against 10, but they got the job done. Watching the game for us today, we had Luis Garcia. And Gemma Soler was also pitch side at the game, and she spoke to Xavi afterwards.
Yeah, we're here with Xavi Hernandez. Congratulations for reaching the semi-finals. It was a tough game, though.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was a tough game, but I think we controlled the game, we dominate the game, we create many, many chances, and we complicate ourselves. I think we need to finish the game before the end. We create a lot of chances to score at least the second one, to be more calm, but we complicate ourselves the game. But I'm satisfied with the performance, with the attitude, with the rhythm, with the intensity. We could score much more goals, but at the end the main goal we reach is to be in semi-final, and we are happy.
A goal scored by Dembele. It's a player that when you arrived, he was almost out of the club. He was sitting on the stands. Have you done a special work, video work with him, like you mentioned with Gavi? What do you think is the key of his evolution? It's not only the goal. He played such a complete game, and he's been doing so far lately.
Well, first of all, because he's a great player. For me, he's a very important player, and it's important that we give him confidence. I trust him a lot, because I love this kind of players. Our way to play is to open well the field, and we need this kind of wingers to create 1v1, 2v1. Every day, I think it's better for the team. He create many opportunities for the others, and today make the difference again for us. So very happy for Ousmane. He's a great person.
As I mentioned, Luis Garcia and Gemma Soler watching this. Gemma Soler outside the camp now. Gemma, Xavi seemed relieved after that.
Yes, I mean, I guess he's happier than the last weekend with the same result. He was very unhappy with the performance of his team. They played really not a good game against Getafe. As for today, as he was mentioning, they generated a lot. The only thing they were missing was end product, but they created many chances. They played well. They opened the field with Dembele and with Gavi in the sides. But it's true that once again, they make the same mistake. They are unable to close the games. That's why we couldn't expect that minute 90, Real Sociedad, one man down, they will be having such clear chances to clear occasions that almost put the game into the extra time. So this is probably the worst for Barcelona, that as we were mentioning, they had an extraordinary version of Ousmane Dembele. We have good news regarding Pedri, because he had to be substituted. He was having some issues in his knee. It's just for precaution. It's not an injury. It's just a knock, and he will be okay to play on the weekend against Girona and next week against Betis.
Luis Garcia, some nice words from Xavi towards Ousmane Dembele there, a player you're a big fan of.
Yes, I'm a big fan, and much more when he shows a big and consistent performance. I think we've seen very good moments from Ousmane Dembele. I think we've seen chances created, assisting, scoring, but at least today, I think we've seen a proper performance for the minutes that he was on the field. He was beating players. I think he drove crazy the left back of Real Sociedad. When he changed to the right side, it's still doing the same with the other side. I think he's a player that I understand Xavi, why he's so happy with him and why he knows that he needs players like him, because there are not many. I think the wingers from the back in the 90s and to early 2000s, they are not there anymore. You don't have players who have that kind of pace, that kind of ability, that kind of skills with two legs that can create and score goals. So that's why Ousmane Dembélé is his best version at the moment. Hopefully he can keep that consistency. He's been asked for that consistency at the moment. He's not getting injured. That's the first step. And now continue bringing the best of the best to the team.
Ale, your thoughts on Dembélé today?
First of all, let's just put it out there on the table. It's been widely reported. Luis Garcia loves Ousmane Dembélé. Mm-hmm. We have touched upon that. So let's just full disclosure, right? And today, I agree with Luis. Today, I'm on board with what Luis is selling on Ousmane Dembélé, that he gives this team really the only change of pace that they have, and certainly that they had available today on the field. A guy that can create separation for himself, can create chances for himself and for others. He's always a direct player, an impactful player, when he makes the correct decisions. And that is the thing that I would focus on if I were around Ousmane Dembélé. It's not the physical attributes. It's not his ability to get around people and beat people in 1v1 situations. It's the decision-making that allow him to be more consistent. And there are moments in which you see it and other moments in which it disappears. But today we saw the best version of Ousmane Dembélé. Cutting to the inside, looking for shots, looking to combine, looking to find different options. The ball that he plays to Frenkie de Jong, that Frenkie de Jong should have finished. That is a good decision, a mature decision, and the correct decision from Ousmane Dembélé in a tight area. The more he does that with consistency, then I'm all on board with Luis Garcia and Ousmane Dembélé, and we can all hang out together. But we need to see it consistently, and that, I think, is also the key.
Could this have been a different story for Barcelona today had it finished 11 versus 11?
I'm not so sure. I think that's too easy to say. The fact is that with 11 and with 10, Sociedad had a couple of opportunities. And they just didn't take them. So, yeah, I mean, it's a surprise that Barcelona didn't win more comfortably with Sociedad going down to 10. But at the end of the day, I don't think if it had been 11, the result would have been different. I think Barcelona were always, for me, just the better side. And if they had to, maybe could have changed gear a little bit. So, no, I don't think so.
Do you agree with that, Luis? Do you think Barcelona were coming out winning whatever happened today against this side?
I think we could have seen more goals in the second half with 11 against 11. I think the problem we mentioned in the pre-show that Barcelona had is that they struggle when they have teams where they put lines with a lot of players in the middle and in the wide areas. We saw what happened at the weekend with Getafe with two lines of four or five players. Very difficult to move the ball around, to find the spaces, to create chances. And today, when Real Sociedad felt that they had one man less, they put that line of five and four in front of their box. And it's very difficult to break those lines. The ball has to be perfect. We've seen a very good run from second line, from Gavi, from Pedri, from De Jong, trying to break that line and arrive inside the box. But that ball has to be very precise, very difficult to pass over the defender of the Real Sociedad players, and also in the line not to arrive to the keeper. So if Real Sociedad had one more player, they would have gone to find the net of Ter Stegen, more open, more spaces, so allow Barcelona to play quicker, to use those spaces to score more goals. So I think that it was a Barcelona a very good performance today, apart from those last 20 minutes, and once again, they lost the control. I like what Ali mentioned about unplugging. I think they switch up early on the game just before to put this game to bed, and they suffer. And it's not the first time, it's not the second time, and it's something that Xavi needs to continue working with.
There's another big Copa del Rey game coming up tomorrow between Real Madrid and Atleti, and it's an Atleti side who've been looking a lot better since the break in action, since they returned to action from the World Cup. As for Real Madrid, well, there's a lot of talk about their midfield right now. Here's what Carlo Ancelotti had to say about the men in the middle. He said, "I don't need to explain the fact that sometimes Kroos and Modric don't play. It's a moment of transition in the squad that everyone has to understand. It's about the understanding of the veterans and the patience of the youngsters. That was important to our success last season too." Gemma, what's been the feeling about this back in Spain? Is this a period of transition for Real Madrid?
Oh, well, maybe it's too soon to say that. It's true that after the World Cup, the performances, the level of does this performance have dropped so much? And there is a, like, the red lights are starting to be turned on in the Santiago Bernabeu. But I mean, Ancelotti even said that he knew it would be a difficult season, especially because his midfield, they are players that are veteran players, and they need to be back to the competitive level. But they are not talking about, I mean, you can never say that about Real Madrid, because until the very last minute they have their chances, and they will of course fight until the end. But of course the football that they are showing lately is not what we are used in the beginning of the season. But at the end, when the key players, the key games arrive, and we're talking about probably when they face Liverpool or at the end of the season of La Liga, they always manage to get that competitive, special Real Madrid DNA and to be there at their height level.
Luis, tomorrow, should Kroos and Modric start the game?
I would say it's quite difficult to see them at the moment, the way that they have been performances to put it together. I don't know. I think that is amazing what Ancelotti just mentioned. It's not easy to see a manager just talking about a transition moment for those of the biggest players that we've seen in the midfield in the history of football, Kroos and Modric. One winning the Ballon d'Or, winning of every single trophy. And I think that is quite open to say that. And it's true that at the moment, if this Real Madrid that has been struggling, I will say even further from what Gemma was mentioning, even before the World Cup, it was struggling to get results. We all remember the 3-2 loss against Rayo Vallecano in November. But at the end, because of the talent of the players that they got from, they managed to keep going and continue getting results. But the way that this Real Madrid has been playing, it hasn't been enough for the crowd. It hasn't been enough for Ancelotti, I think. And now is the moment where having those two players into the middle, he knows that he's going to have a lot of problems because the intensity is not there. They are two players that cannot cover as much space as they have before. Tchouaméni is not there because he's injured. He's not anymore Casemiro. He was kind of the saver of these two players, the one who was making all the time the coverage for them. So I think that at the moment, bringing another player, call it Valverde, call it Camavinga, is something that Ancelotti is going to manage in the coming months. So I'm not sure if he's going to use anymore. Maybe at some point we've seen it making the two changes in the second half of the last game and then to try to keep the ball. But from the very beginning, I'm not sure if you're going to see it a lot of times in the rest of the season.
Ancelotti wanted to highlight the performance of Camavinga in the last game. Obviously, Ceballos as well is doing his part in proving that he can play a part. Is it a cause for concern, the midfield, for Real Madrid?
Absolutely, it's a cause for concern. When you think about Real Madrid and what they've done so well, we can focus on Benzema and Vini Jr., right? And their run in Champions League. And, okay, that makes sense, Rodrigo off the bench. But really, at the core of their success is the control that they usually have through the midfield and how they're able to dictate the pace of the game. If they're not controlling the midfield, they become stretched. And when they become stretched, that back four cannot withstand pressure. And that's when they start breaking down. And that's when Courtois is having to come up with saves. And if he's not coming up with saves, they're giving up goals. If they don't control the game through the midfield, Real Madrid becomes very, very vulnerable. That's the sort of situation that we're going through right now. And so, look, Toni Kroos is not getting any younger. Luka Modric is not getting any younger. But you have addressed some of those concerns. This is why you're bringing Tchouaméni. That's why you have Fede Valverde. That's why you have Camavinga. That's why you have Dani Ceballos. These are players that can play the position. Now they're going to have to show that indeed they can take that sort of responsibility. One more point on Luka Modric. Following the 2018 World Cup, he had difficulties getting back from the physical stress that was the run that they had with Croatia in that World Cup. I cannot help but think that if he was a struggling 2018, 4 years later, I have to imagine it is a struggle again to get back physically. And what we're seeing, certainly from the case of Luka Modric, is that physically, right now, he's not quite there. The legs are not quite there. The mind is not quite there. This is, in my estimation, the definition of a World Cup hangover in the case of Luka Modric.
Is this the best time for this Atleti side then to take advantage and get a result against Real Madrid?
Well, you'd have to think so, that, you know, all things are not quite rosy in the garden. And supposedly, we've got this new attacking style Atletico Madrid.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you put those pieces together and on paper, it looks as though this is perfect timing for Atleti. However...
Oh, here we go.
Real Madrid are the masters. The masters of when they're up against it, when they're being questioned, we're talking about the keeper, or the back four, or the midfield, they're too old, they're too young. I mean, we're coming out with it all. But you know what they do? Mm. They turn up and somehow they get the victory. They get it done. Add to that, I don't have any confidence that Atleti are going to revert back to type and are going to sit tight and try and break. So... No.
Hang on. This has
got Real Madrid winning all over it.
The good news is we have a former Atleti player here with us. Surely Luis Garcia is going to give Atleti a win tomorrow.
I got my doubt as well. It's true. And I agree with Steve is that Real Madrid know how to pull results from this kind of moment. Even when they look that they, and I think that the last Super Cup is a massive example of how this Real Madrid always raised from nowhere. When they are in trouble, when they look like they cannot anymore, they cannot run, suddenly they start running, they start pressing, they start scoring goals, and we cannot forget that up front they have players who can finalize, and that's something very special, very difficult to find, with Karim Benzema as the main man, with Vinicius Junior, with Valverde, with Rodrigo, players who can capitalize any single chance. And we've seen it in the last game. They were not doing anything. They were being dominated by Athletic Club de Bilbao. But in two chances that Real Madrid managed, one of them, they went into the net. And that's the way that this Real Madrid is getting results at the moment. Atletico Madrid needs to continue building on what they are, this kind of momentum. They had a fantastic game against Valladolid, 3 goals, Morata. Now they got Memphis Depay back into this Atletico Madrid, so it's going to give them something special, with Griezmann being the key player and without Joao Felix. So can they manage to get a good result against Real Madrid? Yes, but they have to do it with a very good defense and trying to bring that ball to the main man up front, that is Griezmann. And from there on, I think that they can win this Real Madrid. But Real Madrid is Real Madrid.
That sounded like the dreaded vote of confidence there from Luis Garcia on Atleti. Anyway, you'll be able to find out tomorrow. We thank so much Luis Garcia and Gemma Soler for being with us. That game between Real Madrid and Atleti will be taking place in the Copa del Rey quarterfinals. We've also got Valencia against Athletic Club coming up as well. Make sure to catch both of these games and wraparound coverage on ESPN+. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Manchester United ran out 3-0 winners in the first leg semi-final Carabao Cup clash at City Ground against Nottingham Forest. Goals from the on-fire Marcus Rashford, Wout Weghorst with his first Manchester United goal, and Bruno Fernandes means that they have pretty much more than one foot in the final of this competition. As for Wout Weghorst, definitely good to be getting off the mark at your new club, isn't it?
Yes, great night for us, great result, and yeah, of course, after this first match with 3-0 front now, it's yeah, it's a really, really good chance at the final.
For you personally, to open your goal scoring account, how special was it to do it on an occasion like this?
Yeah, it's always special, and you always want to score goals, and also you prefer to have this first one, of course, as quick as possible. Nah, so really happy. I think it was a really important moment also. the 2-0, yeah, I think short before the halftime. So, yeah, that gives it a good and a way better feeling in the break.
It's great.
Frank Leboeuf is joining us now. He was also watching this game. I'll start with you, though, Stevie. We've just seen Wout Weghorst there speaking after scoring his first goal for United. Always good to get off the mark, isn't it, for your new club?
Yeah, not only that, the fact that people were questioning why they would sign a player like Weghorst, who's basically, I think, on loan from Burnley. Now, they're a side that who just lumped the ball forward, so that really doesn't bode well when you go to a team like United, who are expected to play total football. But you know what? This guy gives them a lot, I think. You know, they can clear the ball out, he can hold it up. They can stick it in the box, he can get on the end of it. I think he's maybe going to turn out to be a surprisingly good signing. Now, he doesn't have an awful lot of choices, the manager, let's be honest, Ten Hag. But if Weghorst keeps doing what he's doing and leading the line the old-fashioned way for Manchester United, then there's no reason why he won't stay on the team. And they won't score more goals.
Frank, do you like this signing for Manchester United?
I do, and not only because he scored his first goal in a nice way with the outside of the foot, and he was really as a positioned as a striker. But I like this involvement into the game, where I think offensively he was really used as a pivot, and they could use him, you know, to get the ball forward and him to hold the ball and then to serve the other and to allow all the team to get out and to go up onto the field. And defensively, he did what he had to do in the first line of the defense, working, trying to position himself back and doing what he has to do. I love the way he thinks the football. I think he's going to be very useful, and with the players that he has around him, I think it's going to be a very good combination.
Yeah, but all the talk will once again be of Marcus Rashford, and rightfully so, right, Ale?
Yeah.
Look, when you're a player and you're going through a moment like he's going, just hang on to it for as long as you possibly can. I mean, he is as hot can be. And there's a level of confidence, an understanding that he's going through a great moment. And what you're seeing from him is that he's making decisions. He's impacting the play in the final third. There is no doubt as to what he wants to do. There is no second guessing. There is no question. It's, I'm getting the ball, and I'm going to make a difference in the final third. I'm getting the ball, and I'm going to be dangerous in the attacking half. You don't see Marcus Rashford receiving the ball, turning back, and playing the ball backwards 10 yards, and then just kind of trying to get on the end of something. No, no, you're seeing him, give me the ball. I'm going after this guy because they can't stop me. When you feel like this, right, it's like every picture that you see on the field makes sense, and it is a beautiful place to be, right? Make it last as long as you possibly can. And I think that would be the concern if I were Manchester United fans. The one thing that I would want is for Marcus Rashford to be able to sustain this for as long as possible. He's going to have a dip at some point, but that the productivity is there and his decision-making and the aggression of his game, decisiveness of I'm going to go challenge defenders, that stays part of his game. He's been excellent.
He really has. It feels like he's taken it up another level even more since the World Cup, Stevie.
Well, it's amazing what confidence does for you. You know, people kind of poo-poo when we talk about confidence, but you know, Ali's talking about that feeling when you're on a football field and you feel as though everything's going to go your way. You can't wait to get the ball because you know you're going to do something good. And if you're playing in the position that Rashford is, that something good is getting shots on goal and scoring goals. So you just can't get enough of the ball. You want more, you wish you could play with two or three, so you could just keep one for yourself. So right now, he can do no wrong.
It was a strong side today, Frank, put out by Erik ten Hag. How important is it, especially with how close they are now to that silverware, to actually scoop it this season?
Well, they did what they had to do, especially the first 10, 15 minutes where they've been absolutely tremendous in the way that they played as a team. And I want to really be focused on Eriksen and the way that he was playing, the way that he was free to or found free every time and serving all his teammates very well. You know, with Casemiro, they make a really good pair in the middle of the park and they make the difference. And as soon as they started to go a little bit down, you know, it's when Forrest came back. But overall, very solid at the back. Deria did what they had to do. They had a little bit of luck as well with the offside on the Forrest goal. But overall, nothing to complain about. They were, I would say, mostly in the control of the game, and they did what they had to do. And of course, as Stevie said, they have 2 feet in the final. I don't see Nottingham Forest winning 4-0 at Manchester, that's for sure.
2 feet in the final, 2 hands on the trophy. Does it have to be this season, Ale?
Well, this is as good an opportunity as you're going to get if you're Manchester United. And when we had the conversation following the Manchester City game in regards to the potential of Manchester United being title contenders, that conversation, well, was very short-lived because then after that came Crystal Palace and then on the weekend, Arsenal. Everybody has gotten a dose of reality check, and that maybe, just maybe, what you want to see from Manchester United is palpable, tangible signs of progress. And while we're seeing it on the performances, I tell you what's a tangible sign of progress: getting your two hands on a trophy. That's something that you can build on. That's something that serves as a stepping stone, and that you're saying, this is how we're taking steps forward, these are the objectives, and these are our achievements. And when you have a trophy in hand, you have an achievement in hand, and it's something that Ten Hag and the players can lean upon. So of course, when you see the teams that are left in this competition, and you're Manchester United, you better take on the responsibility of being the favourites. And the way that you're playing, you should be the favourites and you should be winning this competition.
Yeah, it's been a massive day of action and it could be a massive game ahead for Manchester United. Obviously, there is that second leg to come, though. And there's plenty more to look forward to when it does come to the Carabao Cup. The second leg's coming up and then the final at Wembley on February 26th. Make sure to be with us on ESPN Plus all weekend. Finally, we get to see Man City against Arsenal in the FA Cup. We've got the Berlin derby in the Bundesliga, Girona against Barcelona, another derby in La Liga, Bayern Frankfurt, Wrexham against Sheffield United. Can they keep up their great run? And Real Madrid against Real Sociedad in La Liga. Stay on your sofa all weekend. It's going to be worth it. And Frank's going to be back in extra time, and that is always worth it. You can stay up to date with all the latest editions of Extra Time by subscribing to our YouTube page. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bundesliga action rolls on and Dortmund got themselves yet another win. A little bit frantic again, this time against Mainz. Let's take a look at the top of the table because Bundesliga Bayern have had back-to-back draws in 2023, and usually the other teams don't respond to the call. Well, this time around, Leipzig and Borussia Dortmund both have and have been able to close the gap as well. Union Berlin back up in familiar territory for them this season. But let's talk about Dortmund and Gio Reyna, shall we? Because we've got Archie Rintutt joining us. And once again, let's turn the topic to Gio Reyna, coming off the bench, getting onto the score sheet too. I know, Archie, that you spoke to Edin Terzic the other day about this player, and he has the full support of his domestic side.
Yeah, he said that he'd not seen anything that Greg Berhalter had commented on, i.e. a lack of professionalism. And that at Dortmund, he's only ever seen Gio Reyna be in great form, whether it's in training or when he's tried to bring him onto the pitch. And we shouldn't forget, before all of that World Cup business, Gio Reyna had a horrible time with injuries. And it's just nice to see a smile on the boy's face, to be honest. Like, not once in a week, but twice, no less. And particularly with such an important goal, because he has produced, I'd say, a great piece of paper over some very big cracks that were very apparent for Dortmund again tonight. On the road this season, they've been really disappointing, particularly performance-wise. And coming off the bench, once again, he did it in much more spectacular style on Sunday. But this was as important as well, just to give Dortmund fans maybe a hope, a glimmer of being in the title race. But I think, to be honest, they've got bigger issues to worry about, namely getting into the top four. Because if they continue to play like they do right now, i.e. not with any real panache or flair going forward, then they're going to struggle to get in the Champions League next season.
When it does come to Gio Reyna, though, and obviously the problems are there for all to see with Borussia Dortmund, Ali, you just need to watch any game that they're playing. But Gio Reyna, this is quite the response from him.
Yeah, this is the perfect response from Gio Reyna. He can only control the things that are in front of him, and what's in front of him is what he does with Borussia Dortmund. Whatever is going on with the U.S. national team and Greg Berhalter, somehow you have to be able to separate that from your daily activities, from what you do with Borussia Dortmund, and how productive and impactful of a player you are for your club. You separate that simply because now you have to leave that behind you. It's gone on for too long. It doesn't benefit anybody. Nobody that was involved in that story looked good from any different angle. And so, therefore, the one thing that you can do is let me show up to training. Let me be ready to play. If I'm called upon in a game, let me make a difference when I go on the field. And then I go and score my goals. And because I'm able to score my goals, and these are game-winning goals and important moments for me, I can tell everybody that I'm not listening to the criticism. But the only manner, and the only way that you can do that is by being productive on the field. And he has been that for the last couple of games.
Is that all? Always the best way to answer any critic, Stevie, by doing your talking on the pitch?
Oh, 100%. But the beauty of Reyna is that he plays in Germany and not in the US. Mm. You know, had he been playing in the US, this thing would have been still going strong. The fact is that in Germany, they don't care. Borussia do not care. He's back home. He's back in his own bed, in his own house. He's around his teammates. Mm. He's around his supporters. He's at home where he belongs. And you saw how comfortable he is coming off the bench and scoring two goals and two game-winning goals. Tells you all you need to know that what happened in the World Cup is the furthest thing from his mind.
Bayern Munich had dropped points in both of their games since the return to action, Archie. Have we got a title race on? Do we have a closest challenger at least?
I think by Bundesliga standards, I'm calling this a title race. Look at that. Look how tight that is. 5 points between the top 6. And Eintracht Frankfurt going to Bayern Munich on Saturday, which I'll be at for us. Looking forward to that very much. Wait, RB Leipzig are playing as well, unbeaten in their last 15 games. Union Berlin suddenly sneaking back into contention as well. Look, Bayern are wobbling right now. Off the pitch and sneaking onto the pitch as well, with the whole hoo-ha about Manuel Neuer and what's happened with his leg break. And then we had one of my favourite stories of the season, Serge Gnabry's excursion to Paris Fashion Week, meaning that he came under a lot of scrutiny because, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that the day after the game. And I saw greater criticism from sporting director Hasan Salihamidžić for Gnabry going to Paris Fashion Week than I did for Manuel Neuer going skiing and breaking his leg. So if you want to kind of explain that one to me and how those two are kind of on the same level, I'd like to hear it. So all of this, along with Julian Nagelsmann never really blowing away the pressure that he was under in September, the string of results that they got did that for a while, but these two performances have not been good. The real pressure game coming up is PSG in the Champions League. And if they lose that, then he's going to come under even more pressure. But yeah, Bayern are not playing well right now, and the door is opened. I'm not used to seeing Bayern with less than 40 points at halfway stage in the Bundesliga season. So look, why not? They're beatable right now. They've got a run of games against some informed teams. Frankfurt need to up their game a little bit, pretend that they're playing in European competition maybe, because when they're in Europe, they seem to produce their best performances. And then maybe, just maybe, we might get something, you know, that everyone else calls a title race, not just our own definition.
Okay, Archie, so points aside, which team do you think is most capable this season of challenging Bayern?
Has to be RB Leipzig because of the firepower that they've got. Once they get Christopher Nkunku back, not sure whether he'll be back quite in time for the Manchester City Champions League game, but Timo Werner looking fit again. Danny Olmo, oh my days, did you see that chip that he scored last night? That was a goal. Dominik Szoboszlai, only the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and Lionel Messi have more assists than him so far this season. And at the back, Josko Gvardiol, who had such a good World Cup, playing really well. Willy Orban not doing too badly either. I think that they do have the players to put something together. The question is, can they play well enough? They are very much a result-getting machine, not necessarily, I'd say, tearing teams apart limb from limb, but they've certainly got the quality in their squad to be challenging. And I've forgotten André Silva as well. That's the thing. Every time you think that you've named all of their attacking options, there's another that comes out. I think they have to be the standout team to challenge Bayern.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Archie Rintoul. We are looking forward to that game at the weekend in the Bundesliga.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So loads of action that we've got through today. Football Americas will be on after the US game. They'll be talking no doubt about Gio Reyna's recent form as well. Make sure to join the boys this evening on ESPN Plus. And that will do it for now, but we do have one foot in our final of extra time tonight. Frank Leboeuf is joining us again. Stevie, we need to tell you something that Frank told us in the last extra time we were all together. Okay,
all right.
Stick around.
Don't.
That's coming up next.
Don't.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Ali Moreno, Stevie Nicol and Frank Leboeuf with us. Last time I was on with Ali and Frank, we had a lot of talk about moons.
Oh! Moons? Oh.
Yes, Stevie.
Yeah, well, Frank's moons.
Yeah.
That's,
is that because of the bonnets?
No. It's not this part of the body. No. It's just more like backside.
Frank revealed a little bit more than maybe we would have liked to have known about Emmanuel Petit.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
And I talked to him about it and what I said about it, you know, in the show. He wasn't that happy. I don't know why, you know. I don't understand people, you know. They have to take full responsibility for their acts, you know. So,
exactly.
Whatever, you know. He doesn't want to wear underwear. That's his own problem, you know. Whatever.
He just said it again.
Yes. He's so unhappy that I'm going to say it again.
Yep, there you go. We love you, Frank. Extra time.
By the way, I want to show you something, you know, in my play, and I don't know if you see it.
Oh,
that's
hello.
My new play. And hey. You see my underwear, you know,
yes.
The French flag.
No,
yeah,
okay, race the picture. You're wearing sandals, just like Dan. You're wearing flops, just like Dan. Come Come on, Frank.
That's because it's a comedy. Because I look stupid. Like that. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Should come naturally then.
What are French flip-flops called?
I have no idea.
Philippe Phillips.
Philippe Phillips.
Sorry.
I know about
no, that's before, a, that culotte is for women. That culotte is for women. Sleep are for men. Sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah, I don't think Frank got the joke.
I think he got lost in translation.
I don't think Frank got the joke.
Sorry, I didn't hear the beginning of
it. It's fine. It went down like a lead balloon last time, but I know I can always rely on Stevie to give me a little pity laugh. All right. Despite Anthony's inconsistent first season, do you think he will fulfil his potential at Manchester United? LA.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask Philippe Philippe. Well, depending on what you think his potential is, Anthony has always been hot and cold. And you just look at what his record has been, and he dazzles you with the skills and what he potentially can be. But if you think this is a guy that is going to be scoring 15 goals for you, I don't quite think that that's realistic. But what you want him to be is an impactful player with substance, with end product. I think Manchester United fans would want more of that than what they have seen so far.
Stevie, who's your Premier League manager of the season so far?
Did anybody see Newcastle sitting in third? I think they were in second for a split for
a couple of
minutes last week. Did anybody see Newcastle being where they are, playing how they are?
Why are you so anti-Arteta?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Oh, of course,
why, Arsenal. Stevie?
Forgot about Arsenal.
Why did you forget about Arsenal?
Here's the thing. Just devil's advocate, right? The fact that Arsenal's got 50 points at the halfway mark, I will have to change and say Arteta. But you could have a good argument, right, that where Newcastle have gone from when Eddie Howe started to where they are now, you could have an argument about who's done a better job. Because Arteta, no question, has better tools than Eddie Howe to work with. But yet Newcastle find themselves, as I said, they were in second place just for a little short spell. So I'm going to go with Arteta.
Are you going to go with Arteta?
But, as I said, you could have a good argument about Eddie Howe.
You seem like you're having that argument right now in your head, Stevie.
Well, I am, because it's hard to see past Arteta.
It's a big mess inside.
All right. Right, Arteta.
All right, here we go. We
got that. All
this is one of those where he'll be laid in bed tonight and he'll still be like letting it bother him. Frank.
I understand the big mess inside Stevie's head, because Eddie Howe does and makes a beautiful job for Newcastle. But you cannot argue what Arteta is nowadays doing with Arsenal in such a short time, you know, changing almost everybody, putting a very nice team selection and doing great and being in the first in the Premier League. So I think, no, for me, there is no argument. I think the best coach so far is Arteta.
Next question. Ale, what do you make of McKennie joining Leeds United if it crosses the finish line? Is it a good fit for both parties? Also, is Leeds United now the unofficial team for all USA soccer fans?
Yeah, it's United States of Leeds is what's becoming. And this is a discussion that we had on digital earlier, and I would just say this. If you're Weston McKennie, regardless of the mess that is currently going on at Juventus, it's still one of the most recognizable brands in European football. Juventus is. And you're going to a team that is going to be fighting to stay up. Because that's the picture where Leeds are right now. That's the place where they are. They're not quite safe. They're going to be in the conversation up until they string a run of results, which we haven't seen so far. So you're going to go from Juventus, recognizable brand in Europe, to Leeds to go fight against relegation? I don't
don't know how messy of a mess it is in Juventus, but I'd rather stay in that mess than go into a mess with a team that could potentially go down. That's my perspective from a player, that I'll stay with Juventus and try to fight it out here, try to figure it out here up until I have something better lined up. Leeds, it's a move downwards from Juventus.
All right. Have any of the guys ever had a day at a club whilst they experienced such a bad day like Everton did yesterday? If yes, what was it like? Danjuma rejected them, Bielsa didn't want the job, Moshiri put them up for sale, Anthony Gordon to Newcastle, Onana to Arsenal links also emerging. Stevie, can you ever remember having an awful day at a football club like this?
Not as bad as that. No. I've had some bad days. But in terms of football, no, that's... It's pretty unprecedented. It really is.
It's up there, isn't it?
Yes.
Frank?
We lost in the... I think it was FA Cup against... Or League Cup against Bolton. And the same day we had the loss and the death of Matthew Harding at the club, the vice president. That was an awful day, and he died on the chopper crash, and that was awful because we wanted to go through. We thought we could go through with a game against Bolton, even if it was away from home. And on top of it, we lost our vice president, a great guy, and that was awful. The day after, we all went to Stamford Bridge, and it was awful. And I will always remember that day. It was beginning for me being at Chelsea, and that's one of the saddest day as a football player.
Absolutely. All right, Frank, let me stay with you. Would a win against City in the FA Cup for Arsenal give them even more confidence that they can go on and win the league? And could a loss for City give them less confidence beating Arsenal in the league later on this season?
Well, winning against Man City away from home at the ETS Stadium, yes, of course, going to be a big boost for the Gunners. But losing, it depends how they lose, how much they lose, you know, the way they lose. If they are smashed like 4-0, yeah, that can create damages in their head. Don't forget, it's a very young team. So a little thing, you know, can crack the enthusiasm that they have, and change the way they're gonna play their football, they're gonna think their football. So losing can create damages. Winning can be a very good boost.
Ale, does a cup game play into these league games between these two?
I understand what Frank is saying, and I agree that if they go and lose and get destroyed, then I think that kind of creates this uncertainty that you didn't have before. However, a loss or a win in the FA Cup doesn't improve or lessen the amount of points and the distance that you have between you and Manchester City. So I think it's about feelings. It's a very subjective impact rather than an objective one. So if I'm Mikel Arteta and we happen to lose a competitive game against Manchester City away from home, I said this things can happen. Regardless, we still have a lead in the league. And the league is still about us. And we don't fear anybody, and we can play against anybody. So I don't know how direct of a connection there is and how objective of a connection there is. There's some subjectivity there, but I think it's a connection that is very tenuous at best.
Is there an argument to make that you could make your mistakes there in a cup game and then correct it for your league games?
Yeah. I don't remember ever thinking a cup game and a league game were anywhere similar, mm-hmm. even although it was against a team that we may be up against in the league. It's a completely different outlook. You look at the game in a completely different way than you do to a league game. 100%. I don't disagree that getting beat 6-0 and you play both first teams doesn't dent the confidence. Mm. But as far as the way you look at the game, never looked at them both the same at all, ever.
Frank, why do you call the people you don't like Mister?
I know what Don Hutchinson's list is referring to. I don't dislike Mr. Potter. That's why I call him Mr. Potter. I think it's really, I don't know him, never met him, and I want to pay respect to anybody. I don't know why I call him Mr. Well, you know, in Italian players, they call their coaches Misters. And that's something they do with everybody. And Mr. Ancelotti is called Mr. Gianluca was my friend, so I called him Gianluca, but Mr. Ranieri, I used to call him either Mr. or Coach. So it's I don't, of course, don't dislike Mr. Potter or Graham Potter because I don't know him. And it's just a mark of respect.
He always calls Stevie Mr. Nickel.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello. So he must really respect you, or...
I do.
Or he thinks I'm old.
I know, I do.
Yes. Oh, well, yes.
Last question. I might need Ale's help with this. For Kay, now that you're a US citizen, will you be supporting any MLS team? When I first came to the country 10 years ago, I said I must choose an MLS team. And I had lots of people helping me out and telling me why it should be their team and why it should be this team. But I'll be honest, nothing ever stuck still to this day with me.
Okay. Now you have more options than you did 10 years ago, let me
true.
Tell you. we're going to 30 teams here in MLS fairly soon. Columbus Crew, what else you want?
Columbus Crew.
But it doesn't really attract you, but you lived in Miami for a long time.
And I started to get really involved and want to support into Miami, but then we moved away and it's just, you know, you're a little bit away from it.
It doesn't feel like you're very committed to this decision one way or another.
It does depend where you stay, though.
Right.
But I when I lived in Boston,
yeah.
I knew all the Patriots players and I knew all the Red Sox players.
Too bad you didn't know your own players.
Since I've come to Connecticut, I mean, it's a good, 12 years now. I hardly know any of the players now. You lose that connection or whatever it is, no question.
It's all about Hartford Athletic, all right?
Okay, well...
They're not in the MLS.
Kate, no, they're not, so you're not answering the question.
If you don't mind, Kate, I want to know if you think your mighty team is going to go back to the Premier League next season, Middlesbrough.
Right.
No chance.
I hope they will. I definitely think they're going to make the playoffs. And so I'm going to stay confident that we'll get a big surprise, a turnaround this season, because Michael Carrick came in. And that will end up somewhere we didn't expect.
And then you'll wake up.
Maybe.
I wish you the best.
But you got to dream high.
Right, but you see how much knowledge and interest and investment there is in Middlesbrough, right?
Always.
Yeah,
and you're thousands of miles away.
It doesn't feel like you have anywhere near that interest in any MLS team.
Maybe one day.
We'll commit to it.
Well, if my kids pick one, I'll go with them, all right?
Okay.
We'll be back tomorrow.
I was non-committal.
To see if I've decided on an MLS team. Join us then.